welcome to Trinity Dallas. We pray that this message will be a source of encouragement and hope in your life today. Enjoy today's message.
Well, good morning, still morning. Good to see everyone. Welcome everyone online. Glad you have joined us. We hope you can experience the presence of God, and that's what our prayer and hope for as a staff. All right. Our senior pastor, Pastor Joe's been out of town, said he was coming, but I think he boycotted me. I think he did. I really do. And Pastor Joe and I have been best friends for 40 years. The only glitch is he went to Ole Miss and I went to Mississippi State. So did David. Dave went to Ole Miss. Yeah. During the Egg Bowl, we don't speak. I mean, it's bad. It's really bad. Oh, you put the clock on me already? Just the intro to my intro. Thank you. Well, for those that are following, we are teaching out of this book. Everyone's welcome to go on to Amazon and pull one down. We are on lesson two, but week three. Pastor Derek spoke first week. Philip, on our executive team, spoke last week on the work of God. And now I've got the privilege of speaking on relationship, that God pursues a relationship with us. So again, if you don't have a book, and we've got a few over here if you're tight for cash, and follow along. It's a phenomenal study. Just for those that don't know me, I've been on staff for a bit. Yeah, I'm that old. And so what I like to do is meet with the new guests, the new people, help them get assimilated. I love that. I love meeting and helping people get to the next stage in their walk with the Lord. And in our society now, what usually comes, not everybody, but, you know, some people have just not been walking with the Lord. It's been a long time. They're ready to get their faith activated. And so we're there to help, to walk them through a process and sit down and meet with them. But what I'm amazed is each generation that goes by, they're less and less churched, less and less informed of what the Bible says. Our society is becoming less and less Christian, right? And there are certain spots that are becoming more so, but what you see in church growth is it's not a lot of salvations. You don't see a lot of the power of God in our country like we used to. Now, that doesn't mean it's got to stay that way, right? But if you go to other countries, these underground churches, the reports are phenomenal. The Church of Jesus Christ is growing in those countries. That's not a downer on us. That just means we got to up our game. I mean, you can't stay in the past, right? You can't park your car and expect to get down the road, right? You got to keep moving. You got to keep pushing through, all right? If you can't understand my accent, that's what it sounds like when you grow up in the deep South, okay? And if you're wondering, wow, what he doesn't look like, well, that's what happens when your grandparents come from the Middle East. And they wound up in Greenville, Mississippi. I don't, you know, why? But everybody from there talks like I do. Why? It's long. Umbrella, it's two syllables. Umbrella, umbrella. So that's how you say it. And so when we lived out in Arizona, boy, and I got beat up. Oh, Lordy. I pastored a church out there a few years, and it's like, where are you from? New Orleans? I said, well, my mama was born there, but I grew up in Mississippi. Ha, huh, I can tell. And, oh, Lord, that's why I came back to Texas. So, hallelujah. So, they would say nice little words. You know what the nickname for a Cajun is, don't you? Don't say it. Okay, don't say it. You know what it is. Okay, that's what I got called a lot. So, anyway, man of God like me, I mean, I had to forgive them. So we lived out there a bit, and it was fun, though. One of our kids were born there. You know, when 9/11 hit, I was down in Austin and came in. We had staff was huddled around a 13-inch black and white TV during 9/11. And do you really have to have that clock running on me right now? So, oh, yeah. And so So I'm huddled up. I was running carpool for the kids, and so I came in late, and all the staff was huddled around this little 13-inch black and white TV with the VHS still for the homeschoolers, remember that. So, and oh man, it was just that moment, you know, that all of you felt. You're watching this and you're watching the planes, and all of a sudden they start popping up, these pilots that were, you know, they found out were guiding the planes that ran into our buildings and destroyed lives. And it was a tense moment, right? So everyone that came up was Middle Eastern descent of some type. They all looked like my cousins or a friend of mine. He is a friend, but he was so upset. He turned to me and he goes, "Look what your people have done." I thought, I'm not going to get offended. I thought, people from Mississippi were flying those planes? No, that's not what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Well, come on. All right. Y'all just ate up 5 minutes of my time. Just trying to relate so you'll know where I'm coming from. Again, the title is God Pursues a Relationship. This is a lot of fun for me. Blackaby says, God pursues a continuing love relationship with us, or with you, that is real and personal. So that's kind of more my point today, is to point you to an individual walk with the Lord. Yes, we are a church. God relates to us as a body, and you see that in scriptures, but you also see a lot of individual relationship pursuing by the Lord, right? So you may see a nice house, or I love that house. You don't go, I love that brick in the house. No, but the bricks made up the house, right? The Bible says we are all living stones built together to worship God. So that's our calling, to come together and to worship God as a body, but you also have the same calling individually. Individually, you have to get that in your mind, that God loves you as an individual. And he is no respecter of persons, the Bible says. He does not show favorites. He loves you, but somehow in our society, we've got this mentality that God only relates to the hierarchy in the church. You know, growing up as a good Catholic, thank God for my upbringing, but we were taught that the priest only understood the Bible. We were not taught to read it. We were not encouraged to read it, you know. But there were classes you could take, so I'm not saying it was devoid. I mean, that's how I learned what the Trinity was. I learned who God was. So I'm thankful for my upbringing, but in the middle of that was this, what I consider wrong thinking, that the priests were the only people that could really understand the Bible. Or your pastor, if you grew up Protestant, your pastor or whatever, could only understand the Bible. That is so wrong. That is not biblical. Everybody looking at me right now, you're an individual priest unto the Lord. That's your calling. That's your calling. He doesn't relate to you. You're not going to be able to blame your pastor if he's there. In the end, I missed the timing on that joke. That was a joke. So you're not going to be able to blame him, right? It's like my dad said, if your cousin John jumped off the bridge, would you? Well, depends on if somebody offered me some money. I would. And so you can't compare yourselves one to another. The Bible says that is not wise. I remember a young man that came to our church when we were pastoring here back in the 80s. It's sad. I got choked up first service. I think I can get through it. But he was telling me about his story, that he was adopted at a preteen, but he had a younger sister that was also adopted with him. His older brother was off to college, but his parents had lost their lives all at the same time. So you can figure what happened there. It was tragic. So they both were dead. Nobody stepped up to adopt them. They were still, you know, middle school or whatever. And he said, the only reason I got adopted with my sister is because that family in town always wanted a daughter. And so I was just a package deal. I was part of the deal. Never had a good relationship with my adopted parents. It was not good, not abusive, but there was no love because he didn't feel like there was an individual connection. God wants an individual connection with you. You got to hear that, or your walk, according to Blackaby, will not be in order. It will not be in order. If you don't understand God's love for you and his pursuit for you, then you will walk very differently. You will feel stunned because now you feel like I got in on the group deal. No, you got in because he individually pursued you and you responded. All right? Sometimes you can get, a wrong idea of things. I remember my dad, I grew up in a very strong patriotic. And, it was a lot of, in that little town, my dad had five brothers. Could you imagine getting away with, I couldn't get away with anything. Uncle Dave told my dad I was smoking at the Burger King, so I got in trouble with that. I don't know who told him. I went to a movie. I was way underage, snuck in. Guy did the flashlight on me. He said, "Are you a Sherman?" I went, "Yes." Said, "Are you George Sherman's son?" "Yes." "How old are you?" I don't remember. I think I was 14. Anyway, he said, "You're out. You're too. Can't get away with anything." The men ran the home, right? My dad's, a couple of his brothers married good Italian women, and some other dad's brothers married Middle Eastern Lebanese women. And I'm just surprised I'm not 500 pounds. The food was unbelievable growing up. And I had a magical life. I don't look back with any regret. We grew up in a little small 1A Catholic school taught by white Irish nuns in the deep, deep South, predominantly Italians and Lebanese. Now, if that ain't a wild, crazy life, but I didn't know any different, right? So, but one thing that was not good was my relationship with my dad. It wasn't horrible, he was not abusive, but I seemed to be the black sheep all the time. I was always in trouble. I wasn't vandalizing anything. I just was always in trouble with my mouth, getting kicked, and suspension, And so we just never got on the right foot. He was a hard worker. All my dad's brothers were retailers. They worked hard. They came through the Great Depression. They were fun, but there was no nonsense. It was work. You worked, but the kind of relationship was tied into that, kind of like our walk with the Lord. We're called individually, but we're also called to a work, right? And so your work is your calling. There's nothing sacred about being in a vocational ministry like myself and others, Pastor Matthew, Pastor Joe, and others on staff. There's nothing more holy than what I'm doing than what you're doing. If you're an engineer or bricklayer or whatever, that's your mission field, right? So I get saved at 24. I don't know much about the Bible. I'm reading. Somehow I'm thrown in the ministry, the full-time ministry, evangelizing college campuses. At 25, I do that for 12 years, and I just hit a bad wall. Pastor Joe says he's never seen anybody that French fried, so they moved me back. I was like I had a lobotomy. I got a job and worked for 8 years, and then God called me back to the vocational ministry. I didn't arrive to any great paradise. I enjoyed my 8 years working, but it was still work. There were some things I didn't like about it, but I bore a lot of fruit because I saw this is my harvest. This is my world. This is where God has me. So bloom where you're planted. God is not, the Bible was not written for full-time ministers. It's written to people. And the Bible calls all of us people as priests unto the Lord, right? So you have to see it that way. Are your walk with the Lord, you'll always be thinking somebody else is going to do it. No, you're going to do it. You don't have to get on the top of the desk at work and preach at people. Just live your life. Fall in love with the Lord and his people, and then God will bring in your path people that he wants you to share your life with, right? So you can give the Lord a hand for that if you want. Lord. Anyway, so I didn't have a good relationship with my dad, the point was, and there was a moment in time, I was probably 18, I just kind of started reading the Bible on my own. I didn't really surrender for years and years. But I was reading the Bible secretly. I was interested in other books about Christianity, and I was exploring, right? But my heart was tenderizing. You have to put your eyes in God's Word because Jesus says his words are spirit and life. And if you're reading the word, I didn't get anything out of that. Well, because you didn't give it enough time. You read the Bible 5 minutes yesterday. Well, aren't you a soldier of the Lord? You see why they don't let me up here much. They let me out of my cage just for today. And I just like, you don't have to spend hours, but just consistently 15 minutes a day will change your life. That the word will get in you, and you might not see it right the moment, but God will bring it to pass. He'll bloom it in your spirit and in your mind. The Bible says to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's how you start connecting with the Lord. Did I finish about my dad? No, I didn't. So my dad, he was a tough guy, like I said. He was a worker. My older brother was excelling. My younger brother was excelling. And I was really convinced my dad didn't love me, really. I believed that for years. And so one day, I can't remember leading up to it, and I can't remember a lot after, but we were sitting in the kitchen, that old house of ours, and something came up. We were in a disagreement about something. I can't remember. And I just blurted out, said, I don't think you love me. I don't think you love me like you do my brothers. And, instead of getting defensive, he just in a minute or two, it was like it was God, because I'd been in the Word. And God was working in my life. And it's just, it's something he said, like, that's not true. I love you as much as any of my kids. I was sixth of seven. It's kind of like, how does he love all them? So you love all your kids equally. All right? So he convinced me. We got up, and he hugged me and cried, and I'd never seen him cry. And I cried, and Mama came in there and said, what's going on in here? Never mind. We worked it out. You know what? I never, to any great degree, had any father issues. That broke off of me, you know. And I always said that I'd be a better father, but I wasn't. I hadn't. I mean, my kids were here. My oldest was here. I made a lot of mistakes. Typical preacher kids. They rebelled, but they love me now, you know, because I made some changes. But God's not like this. God, the Bible says, he doesn't vary. He doesn't shift. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. God is pursuing you. You need to step back and receive his love. We have a wrong image of God a lot of times, just a wrong image, and it comes from various places, wrong teaching, you know, bad interpretation. I'm not talking about deep theological issues that are fair to debate, because we've had guys from Dallas Theological Seminary here. Some of the guys got degrees, and it's fun to, you know, talk about those things, right? But your image of God is going to completely train you for the next level. If you don't have the right image, like my image of God growing up, I just remember as a little kid looking at a Bible study book, and God had a gray beard. I saw it years ago. I saw it still out there. He's on a cloud. He's looking over his creation, very somber, and all the animals are out there and little kids, and that branded in my thinking. And that's how, still today, I have to fight that image. He is not like that. The Bible says he's a spirit, he loves us, and he is a God of eternal life. Eternal life. Like when Moses went up that second time and he came down, his face was radiating with beams of light. They had to put a veil over his face. That's not an old guy, right? That's a new guy. He's new every morning, the Bible says. His mercies are new every morning. But yet, Moses had this glow on his face, and they put a veil over it, and so the people wouldn't be blinded by the glory from him being on the mountain. That a misinterpretation of that was that he had these beams and these rays of light shooting out of him, and somehow in the interpretation, it came out horns. So when I grew up, I had a statue of Moses in my living room with horns. Has anybody seen that? Has anybody seen a picture of Moses with horns? Misinterpretation. Wrong image. Wouldn't you say? He didn't have horns. They misinterpreted the glory of God for demonic horns. Wrong image, and that's what hurts us when we serve God. How does God pursue us? He does it through kindness. Romans 2:4. See, now I told Philip the other day not to read off the screen. Now I'm reading off it. What a hypocrite. No, I do have it. I did it. Shame on me. Romans 2, we help each other, by the way. We do. Romans 2:4, or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of the Lord leads you to repentance? That's how he does it, through kindness. He's not out there twisting your ankle and breaking your leg. Another bad image is this whole story of Job. How many people have read Job? Try to. I mean, that's a very laborious. I just usually jump to the last two chapters. Those are. I want to see that. Oh, those four. Anyway, so everybody knows the story of Job. Devil goes to God, wants to attack Job. There's a lot more to the story. There's a lot of theology behind it. But just on the surface, it looks like we're just, any minute the devil can attack us and beat us up. Older people in my generation always talk about Job. Well, I guess I'm just like Job. No, you're not. You might be a Job Jr., but you're not Job. It was like a four-area attack. The devil came, killed all his livestock, killed all his prosperity, killed his servants, killed his seven sons and three daughters. He's almost on deathbed, but God won't let the devil just kill him, but he's nearly dead. He's got his friends coming to talk to him, which God later said at the end of the book that they weren't right. So why do I have to read all of these chapters when God rebukes them all at the end, said what they said wasn't right? But anyway, if you're going to be Job, you got to get healed. Historians say that attack of Job was horrible, but it didn't last forever. He later had double what he lost. He later had seven sons and three daughters. James 5:11 says, you've heard of the endurance of Job, how the Lord was merciful to him in the end. The end intended by the Lord is what it says, was that the Lord wanted to show himself merciful. So if you want to be Job, something's got to change, right? Now, as a side note, he said his wife told, his wife cursed, said, curse God and die. Remember that? It's like, why did she live? I mean, oh, hag. I mean, I'm sorry. Lord, let me get down. Let me get down. I mean, come on now. I mean, maybe, I don't know. Maybe somebody in what I read said that God left her alive so she could up the suffering. Yeah. All right. Point two, how does God pursue us? By offering you to walk with him. That's how he pursues you. He says, come walk with me. That's what he told Peter. He said, feed my sheep. Okay, there's the work. You got a job to do. But then Peter goes, he turns to John, looks at John. John's writing this, which, John put himself in a good light, but I get it. That's a joke. And so John, chapter 21, verse 22, said, Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Pointing to John. They're walking together. And Jesus said, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. You can't compare yourself one to another. The Bible says it's not wise. You follow me. That's God saying that to all of us individually. You follow me. Don't worry about anybody else. You can learn from things, but don't compare yourself to somebody. Now, John did live longer than the other ones, but it was a mistake to say that Jesus said that he would not die. He didn't say that. He just said, what business is it of yours if I want him to live? You follow me, right? You follow the Lord, all right? Somebody doesn't like me behind that time booth. Anyway, point three, how does he pursue you? By giving you a new identity. This is probably one of the most powerful couple of scriptures in the area of identity. Listen to this. Who talks like this? What literature is written like this? Where God comes in and basically says, you're not able to enter into my presence. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a great exchange. I'm going to take my holiness and give it to you. I'm going to get my right standing I have with the Father. I'm going to give it to you so you can fellowship with us. That's why when people say, well, Jesus died for you, well, most people don't know what that means. I did a lot of campus evangelism, and we used to do a lot of preaching. I offended more people than I actually led to the Lord. We used to open air preach. Oh, you God, people get so mad. Anyway, I didn't call anybody any bad names then, but they didn't like it. So when you say Jesus died for me, people that don't have any biblical depth or understanding, they don't know what you're talking about. Now, people that are backslidden, that know the truth, then they might convict them a little bit. But here in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. You're a new creation. If you break that down, that means that in that Greek, that it means something that didn't exist before. It's just like when he created the earth. He took nothing and made something. He took you and I, who were destined for hell, and made us something in his sight. He loves you individually. Verse 29, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's the calling. We're righteous in him. How dare you say you're righteous? That's what he said. You're not going to grow in your relationship unless you say what he says about you. Don't buy into this old dead religion. It's just dead. The church can't advance. We believe stuff that's not in the Bible. We believe religious stuff that doesn't have any biblical power at all. That's why you have to meditate the word, because there's nothing written on earth like this Bible. Nothing. That's why it says in Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be renewed in your mind. You got to get your mind in here and read. You don't have to do years and years of study. It's good. It's good to know things, especially if you're teaching people. You don't want to mess them up theologically like I did for years. Oh, hallelujah. Did I ever tell you the story about the little yellow dog? I hadn't preached here in a while, have I? I always tell the story of the little yellow dog. No one's heard that. Y'all totally forgot my message 20 years ago. That's what I wanted to hear, tell it. Well, this man had a little yellow dog, right? He had a little yellow dog, and he was walking it downtown, and he turned a corner, and there was this little walkway that had been compressed, and he really couldn't get, he was only able to get one dog through and a man. So he's carrying this little, the little yellow dog was on a leash, and he was walking the little yellow dog. Say little yellow dog. Say it real fast. La, 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 la. So, speaking in tongues, you don't have an interpretation, and so, don't speak it out loud. Anyway, so he runs in this guy with a big, ugly green dog. Had moss on him, just had spikes on his neck. He's just a big, you know, dripping blood. And this guy's walking him, big guy, you know, muscle guy. This big, ugly green dog was so big, you know, he could barely fit in the walkway. And so he comes into contact with the little yellow dog. And he says, get that little yellow dog out of my way. And the guy goes, sir, I was here first. Not, if you don't get that dog, that little yellow dog, out of my dog's face, see this dog here? He's going to eat that dog alive. He said, sir, in all due respect, I was here. That's it. Fido, get him. So next thing we know, it's all this blood and fur, And all is left is the little yellow dog. And the guy goes, what kind of dog was that? The guy with the little dog said, before I cut his tail off and painted him yellow, he was an alligator. Your identity in Christ is based in his word. Alligator, and it's so stupid. I can't believe y'all even laugh at that. Everybody laughs at that. It is so stupid. You got to know your identity or you will not be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You become religious. Dr. Cho, who had the largest church in the world, he died here recently. He had 800,000 active members in South Korea. He used to say all the time, I train my people to work for God, to do small groups and to serve and to be active in their faith. He says, if I don't teach them how to fight the devil, they're going to turn and fight me. So to survive, he taught them. Christians get, if they're not engaging, they're going to start chewing everybody up. That's our nature, right? Fourth and final, he stays faithful when we are doubtful. He stays faithful when we are doubtful. Story is, they go up to the mountain to Jesus to go up and to be departed into heaven. In Matthew 28, it says, when they saw him, they worshiped him, the 11, if you read the whole chapter. But some doubted. I thought, wait a minute, what? The 11 doubted? The apostles doubted? Now, some say that if you go back to 1 Corinthians 5:16, Paul says that there were 500 that saw him at once. Many think it was then, not the 11. Either case, doesn't matter. Some doubted. You have to walk with the Lord when you have doubt in your life, when you have contradictions. I can't answer every question. I don't know where God came from. I don't know how old the earth is. I mean, right? I mean, we're serving a God who materialized fish and loaves out of nowhere. We're serving a God that can walk on water. Let's concentrate on that. So in evangelism, I would just let people ask questions that I didn't have answers for. But I would always take them back to Jesus, because you can't refute that. When the disciples were in the garden and he kept telling them to pray, they kept falling asleep. They failed. Jesus came to them and said, okay, let us be going. The hour of darkness is here. Should have prayed. I don't know what would have happened had they prayed. I don't know. Peter was pretty good. Cut off one of their ears. But you know what? They didn't sit around wallow in self-pity because they failed, because they doubt. You got to keep moving. You got to keep moving. When I hit that wall, whenever that wall, I can't remember when it was. It was bad. I was just in a horrible place. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't relate to anybody in my family. And just like, what has happened to me? And all I could say is, devil, take your best shot now, because God's going to bring me through this sometime. I don't know when. My sisters had died. My niece killed in a car accident. My 19-year-old nephew killed. And it was horrible. I gave up my church in Arizona to a friend. I just said, I can't do this anymore. I'm too broken. Right? But you know what? You just stay with it. If you're in that position right now, stay with it. Stay in there. Don't get bitter. Don't get resentful. Don't worry about anybody else. God sees you. The Bible says if you go in your closet to pray in secret, God sees you and rewards you openly. God's not holding back on you. God's not holding back on you. You got to pursue him. James 4:8 said, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. It's your step. Will you respond today? Will you respond? Understand what the offer is. Understand what the offer is. The Bible talks about consider the offer. I want you to consider the offer now. Consider what I'm saying. My prayer was that I'd be clear. Hopefully I was, but I got to trust the Holy Spirit is speaking in this room. So there's three people I want to pray for as we close. One, you've never known the Lord, or you don't hardly remember the last time you were in church, but church doesn't make you saved. Working for God doesn't make you saved. Responding to the call of salvation, God's plan for you to be saved and relate to Him is through Jesus. And if you've never done that, I want to give you an opportunity today. I learned from my Baptist friends that anytime you have a big group, you got to have an altar call. So I'm going to have an altar call. Will you respond if you're out there and you know you're not saved? Number two, you're backslidden, as we call it, or you need to rededicate, whatever you want to call it. You're not walking with the Lord. But I'm not saying you're not going to heaven. You may be. But you're so backslidden, you're not any good to anybody much. You know you're not right. Doubt has so taken you over. Sin has taken you over. That's number two. Number three, if you've got a father wound, I'm not saying this message is going to heal it all. I'm not saying this prayer, but I want to start the process right now by the anointing we have in this room with all the believers pulling. I'm going to break the power of that. Just like when my dad talked to me, it didn't take but a couple minutes. When he told me that, something broke. And I just never have had a father issue. Now, I always got in trouble, but it wasn't like I had this knowing that he didn't love me, you know? I knew it just from that few minutes. So let's bow our heads, pray. Heavenly Father, just come to you. You know all. You know everybody in here. You know every soul. You got all the hairs on our head counted. You know each person. Each person watching online and listening is precious to you. So I just ask that you give them the ability and the faith to respond. If you've never responded to the call to be born again, to come under the Lordship of Jesus, I want you to lift your hand. I want to pray for you. We had just one last service. Is there anybody in this service I can pray for you? You know you're not saved, right? Everybody in Texas is saved. Are you right with God? Are you ready to surrender fully? Anybody? Okay? Nobody. Okay, that's fine. Number two, you want to rededicate. I'm not saying you had a bad week or you hadn't been to church in a month. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you're just not right with God. You're a Christian, you're going to heaven, you're not right with God. Now's your opportunity to get right with God. I want to pray for you. Anybody? Anybody want to lift their hands? Okay? I see you, hon. Anybody else? You want to get right? You want to say, I'm going to make a decision today. I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to rededicate. Anybody else? Okay, number three, and we'll close. If you've got an issue with your father, primarily, it's kind of leaked over into your relationship with God, the Father, and you kind of see God like that. Maybe he was harsh. I don't know. Father wounds are pretty significant, and want to help you with that. Is anybody here wants me to pray for them, break the power of that over their life? Is anybody got a father wound? Any damage from your father? Anything you need to resolve from him? Any resentment? Anybody like that, you can lift your hands. I want to pray for you. Anybody? One. Okay, see that. See that. There's two. Anybody else? Holy Spirit, thank you for working ahead of me. Thank you for helping the staff minister to your sheep and your sons and your daughters. For it says you want to walk with us, 1 Corinthians 6. You desire to walk among us. So, Father, I just release this message and this group to you. to do your work in their life. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said amen. Amen. Go ahead and stand up, if you would, please. We want our pastoral team to come on up. If you've got prayer for anything, doesn't have to be related to the message, our pastoral team is up here, would be glad to minister to you. The rest of you have a great, great, hot day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. If you'd like to dive deeper into today's message, go to trinitydallas.com/sermons to receive your copy of the notes. If today's message encouraged you, do someone else a favor and share it with them. Also, be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. A special shout out to all those who partner with us through their giving. Your contributions have enabled us to touch the lives of people in our community, as well as around the globe. Visit us at trinitydallas.com/give to partner with what God is doing through Trinity Dallas. God bless.